Hi, Alex. Just testing my audio. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Great. Thanks. I may also test screen share.
Yeah.
Says sharing still needs to be turned on.
Here, let me see.
There we go. That should work.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Hey, Alex.
Hey Mark, how are you?
Good.
Good evening.
Hi, Christy.
Hi. Anyone else report to you about the sentence in the minutes that needs to be deleted?
Sure, when we get to that item, definitely let us know.
No one else has shared it with you to date, though.
No, not today. I'm looking for, I'll let you know, Mark, when we have quorum.
Thank you.
Mark, where is the image behind you?
That is in the Pheasant Branch Conservancy here in Middleton.
Right. We've hiked it several times. I wondered if that wasn't gorgeous.
Yeah, people keep asking me to get out of the way of the boardwalk right now, but I just ignore them. I actually was just in the conservancy on a group bike ride. There's a weekly Wednesday bike ride that I did the beginning of and then peeled off so I could get back to the meeting. And it's a group of e-bike riders. And someone loaned me an e-bike so I could try that out. And I tried B-Cycle before in Madison, but that was a couple of years ago. And e-bikes have really come a long way in the last few years. I have a few different regular standard bikes, but not an e-bike is sort of new to me. They're
Yeah,
quite
we
a
don't
rage now. I see them all over the place. I think the key with
Yes.
those is that, especially on bike paths, we need to make sure they don't go more than about 15 miles an hour. Otherwise, it starts becoming more user conflict scenarios.
Right. Okay, we need one more. We'll be there.
Yep.
When Phil joins, we will be at forum. And he just joined, and Liz is following. Okay, we have quorum, Mark, if you
Okay.
want to
And we need
join.
to have video cameras on, is that correct? For quorum?
Yes,
Okay,
those
thank
who
you.
are on the, so we have a number of people that are on our watch list, so registered to but it's but they're not they don't have
Okay.
to turn their cameras
No,
on.
I just wanted to remind my colleagues that we need to have our
That's
cameras
true.
on. Thank you all for turning your cameras on. I'll call the meeting to order at 6:32, the September 4th Greater Mass and MPO Policy Board meeting. And we have a quorum. I'm not aware of any new members. Is there anybody that we should be introducing, Alex?
No, we do not.
Thank you. Number two is approval of the August 7th meeting minutes. And I understand there's an extra sentence, which I must admit I missed that. So I don't know where that is.
It's on page 6 under item 16, the first sentence. The next policy board meeting would normally be held on July 3rd, but given the inconvenience.
Oh,
Okay,
I see.
so with
Okay.
we strike that. Strike that sentence. Williams will move approval of the minutes.
Okay, a motion by Williams. Is there a second?
Wood will second.
Wood will second. Thank you. I noticed under 13 there's just a highlighted time point. It's not a big deal, but I assume that was sort of an internal editing thing. Ben, did you have something you wanted to say under the
Yeah,
side?
I caught that as well. That's I'm the one who did the minutes, and that's how I keep track of myself when I have to stop and step away to do something else. So I was just going to recommend that that number in highlighted yellow be deleted because
Yeah,
it's.
that's fine. And as far as I'm concerned, these sort of things are administrative in nature. They don't change the substance. But I appreciate you pointing that out. I'll call the question on the minutes. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item three, communications.
So the one communication I have is that to let you know that WISDOT and FHWA did just approve our most recent amendment to the UPWP to include the language about the Connecting Communities grant that the City of Madison received for their Perry Street project. So that's the only one I have.
Okay, thank you. Any questions on that? Now we'll move on to item four, public comment for items not on our agenda this evening. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to address the board at this time? Seeing no hands raised and hearing no voices, I will move on to item five, election of officers, chair and vice chair. This is something that we do every year because we always have a few members whose terms are up every year. And so we want to provide an opportunity for the body to decide if they who they would like to serve as their board chair and vice chair for the next year. So at this time, I will open the floor for nominations for board chair.
Mark, are you willing to serve again?
I'm happy to serve, unless somebody else wants to take a turn. I'm happy to do it. I do enjoy it, but I'm happy to share.
Nominate you, board chair.
So you're nominating me. Okay. Well, a nomination for Opitz. Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll close the nominations. And all in favor of some guy named Opitz continuing to serve as chair, say aye.
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 All right.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, that carries. Thank you for your entrusting me to another year. I'll try to keep the puns to a minimum. I'm admitting David Aguayo.
We're going to put that in the minutes, just so you know, Mark, that thing about puns.
At this time, I'll open the floor for nominations for vice chair. Doug Wood has been serving for the past year. Are there any nominations?
Mark, I'll nominate Mr. Wood, Doug Wood, Mrs. Esser.
Okay, Esser nominates Wood. Are there any other? Are you accepting the nomination, Doug?
Yes, I would be happy to.
Thank you. Are there any other nominations? Any other nominations? Any other nominations? Hearing none, I'll close the nominations. All in favor of Doug Wood continuing as vice chair, say aye.
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 Aye. Anyone opposed? That motion passes as well. All right. Thank you all. Item six is public hearing on the draft MPO. I'm sorry. I just moved my screen around so I could face the camera as I'm talking. Public hearing on the draft 2025 through 2029 transportation improvement program for the Madison metropolitan area in Dane County. At this time, I'd like to open the public hearing to anyone present who wishes to speak and address the body during this time on this matter. Anyone who wishes to speak? Kathy Kay, I saw you turn your camera on. Are you? Okay, it's muted. Is there anybody who wishes to speak during the public hearing on the TIP? Going once, going twice. I'll close the public hearing. Moving on to item seven is MPO resolution 2024, resolution 14, approving amendment number six to the 2024 through 2028 TIP for the Madison metro area in Dane County. And turn it over to you, Alex.
And I'm going to turn that over to David.
That's what I thought.
All right. Thank you. Well, this amendment applies to the U.S. Highway 18-151 corridor that extends from Dodgeville to Verona. WISDOT has requested a TIP amendment to add preliminary engineering funding in 2024 for the Dodgeville to Verona freeway conversion study, which extends from Dodgeville to County Trunk Highway G, just west of Verona. And also the Verona Bypass Expansion Study, which extends from County Trunk Highway G to County Trunk Highway PD. This is funding that will be used for the environmental document, and staff is recommending approval of the amendment.
Thank you, David. Any questions for David? I did see in the comments that this was for discussion. Just a second. I've lost track. I'm not usually at this computer, so I have things in different places. Oh, here we go. This was for review and discussion at this time, action at the board meeting in October. Is that still okay, David and Alex?
Go ahead, Alex.
Are you talking about agenda item number seven? Resolution.
I'm sorry, I hadn't moved. See, that's the problem. I moved my screen around.
That's okay. Yeah, no, we're recommending approval for this.
Yep,
one.
I hadn't moved up to seven. That makes. I was wondering why we weren't doing approval at this meeting. Okay, so the motion, the recommendation is for approval. Would somebody like to make a motion?
Esser will move approval.
Okay, motion by Esser.
Second by Williams.
Second by Williams. Any discussion? Hearing none, it's very straightforward. All in favor say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? That motion passes. Item eight is the preliminary award of Section 5310, the Enhanced Mobility of Seniors and Individuals with Disabilities Program 2024 funding.
For this one, Ben Lyman is going to present.
All right, Ben.
Thank you. Let me just get this pulled up and share. All right. Looks like you can now see my screen. So as usual, we review this, and then it actually gets formally adopted with the final transportation improvement program in October. So these are the MPO administered funds on federal funding through Section 5310, Enhanced Mobility of Seniors and Individuals with Disabilities. It's a program we get about $480,000 a year, but we usually have some carryover. And luckily we do this year because we got a record amount of applications, I believe. And unfortunately quite a bit more than we could fund. So these were competitively scored by Alex, myself, and a staff member in the WISDOT transit section, who's been scoring with us for years on these and is very familiar with it. And so I should jump to another screen here momentarily. The scoring doesn't really change from what's in the packet. The project descriptions don't change. However, this morning I had a long weekend, and this morning I got back into the office and was informed by the Metro Transit Grant Administrator that I'd made a couple small errors here that result in a bunch of changes. Due to a rounding error with the Newbridge-Madison, this was actually shown in your packet as $61,923, but clearly when you add two and two together, you get four, not three, and the FTA requires full dollar amount. So that's the first change. The next is that I had listed this vehicle for the Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin as $157,000 when it's really $158,000 is what we expect the price to be. So that then results in a different FTA amount and different local amount. And because of that, and because I had gotten it so close with the Dane County project that we were within $2 of the amount of money that we expect to have available, that ended up having to change Dane County's program as well. And Nathaniel Brown, who administers that project and is the applicant on that, is on the line if you have any questions for him. I've talked to Nathaniel, and he does think that there will be some wiggle room in the grant application and that they'll still be able to achieve most, if not all, of what they've applied for. They did apply for a line item for marketing, which might have some money taken out of it. And then another is that the Bus Buddies program historically has never actually used up all of the funding that's in its award. They've always aimed to have more people trained in a year than they actually end up having. So there's a little bit of wiggle room there. So it ends up being, I believe, $1,800-ish difference there. And because of those changes, it then adjusts the grant administration total as well. But we still end up coming out, this part, because I'm in the Excel, not the PDF, is not in your packet, but at $53,596, we're still just a little bit under that $589,568 that we have available. So about 30 bucks left rather than the two. That is really all that I have to say about that. Happy to answer any questions.
So Ben, just to clarify the typos that you pointed out, that the math errors, what you have on the screen is the correct, is that that's what we would be moving as the preliminary awards. That's what we would be recommending.
Yes, okay. Please.
All right, Doug.
Yeah, Ben, I was really pleasantly surprised to see so many applications this time, yeah. And at least a couple new ones. Could you, why do you think, like, it seems like in the past we had difficulty getting enough people to apply for the money. Do you have any idea what changed?
I really don't. Newbridge has been awarded funding for two vehicles in the past two cycles. So they're, relatively new recipient, but they are definitely aware of the program. And the Down Syndrome Association of Wisconsin apparently learned about this opportunity sort of at the last minute. I'm not sure how. They already operate a similar program in the Milwaukee area. So that it may have been through 5310 funding in that area, and then they realized that it was also available here. Haven't asked them about that. And then the Hmong Institute, again, I've been conversing quite a bit with Peng He since we received this application, but I didn't ask how he heard about us. So I might follow up with all three of those and find out, and we can report back to you.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's good news. So.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I appreciate the question, Doug.
You won't be approving these numbers until the adoption of the TIP next month.
Right. These are just preliminary awards, is what you're recommending, that we make the preliminary awards, but not taking final action.
That just allows us to get the paperwork in motion and start communicating with them.
Anybody else have any questions or want to provide guidance to staff? Quiet group. We all know it's really nice outside, so I think that might be a factor. Would somebody like to endorse the making the preliminary awards? I guess it doesn't have to, you know, again, we'll vote on this again, but or we can just handle it as if there's no objection.
This is what I'll move approval of the preliminary awards.
Okay, motion by Wood. Is there a second?
I second. Clement second.
Okay. I heard a hand. Oh, the hand's gone. Okay, we have a second from, is it Aguayo?
Clement, from Clement.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Okay. I don't know why I said that. My apologies. So we have a second. And any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? That motion passes. Thank you, Ben. Item number 9, MPO Resolution 15, support for a week without driving. That's coming up here at the end of the month.
Yes, is. And I can introduce the basics. I know many of you are familiar with this in your own communities. But there is a summary in your packet that's pretty straightforward. So as you may already know, the Week Without Driving is a national challenge to increase awareness of the ways in which people that lack convenient transportation are unable to drive in a vehicle, and just see how that affects their day-to-day life. And so part of the idea here, it's called a challenge because it is a challenge. We're hoping to find some individuals who are willing to take that challenge. So supporting this initiative aligns with the Greater Madison MPO's mission to lead a collaborative planning and funding for sustainable, equitable transportation system for the region, as well as the goals of our round trip program. They really complement each other. So if you have any questions about it in general or wording in our resolution, I'm happy to answer. And any others of you, I believe some other communities are doing this as well. I know the county board is taking this up this Thursday. So it's a great program. And we recommend approval.
Thank you.
Williams will move approval of MPO 2024 resolution number 15. Week without driving in the Madison metropolitan area.
We have a motion from Williams.
Andre, second.
Andre, you seconded?
Happy to.
Okay, and then I see you have your hand up as well.
Oh, yes. Alex beat me to it, but yes, the county board will act on a similar resolution tomorrow night, and I just appreciated the input from staff that helped me advise on the county resolution and bring some more data and perspectives into it. I do think it's a really good opportunity to think about putting yourself in the shoes of someone who has different options than you do or limited options. And I especially just want to think about all that in light of the success and the wins on transportation locally here in the county, but also more work to be done. So thank you.
And thank you for your support at the county level. Clement.
Yeah, if this is just for my education. I'm just trying to see how it works. So how do we implement this, you know, walk? A week without driving. So is
well, I would say it's mostly, you know, doing what we are doing. Ideally, elected officials all locally would adopt sort of like proclamation to acknowledge the week without driving. And then one step further is to find some elected officials, community members, local leaders that will take the challenge and then reflect back on that experience. So it's a great opportunity for policymakers, especially. It can be a really eye-opening experience. We think we understand, we think we know, but then to experience it firsthand is a valuable thing. So that's primarily how it works. We as the MPO staff are going to be following up with sort of encouraging people locally to take that challenge. So there will be more to come.
I have an idea. Mm-hmm. I would like to challenge all of you on this call to report back at our next meeting how many trips you took that would have been by car that you took using other mode of transportation besides driving a single occupancy vehicle. And I'm looking forward to participating in this as well. City of Middleton adopted the resolution a month ago. And why don't we do that? Why don't we sort of start a little challenge here amongst ourselves? But then also we can maybe find a way to track with other elected officials. Maybe that's something that we can circulate to cities and villages and towns, to the elected officials there, and have sort of an honor system, reporting system. How about that?
So let me just be sure. Is carpooling part of it or no?
I'll let you answer that, and then I'll talk to you about a round trip.
Why don't you do it that way? I personally think the issue is if you're not driving, if you're a passenger, I think that's not driving, but because you're carpooling. But I'll let, you know, if Ben and Alex want to address that.
Yeah, I'd just be happy to say if it's a standard carpool that you always do, you know, stick with it. But ultimately, the idea with the week without driving challenge is that if you need to take a car somewhere because you're going to get 40 pounds of kitty litter or whatever, you have to ask someone for a ride. Because that's something that many people have to do. They have to ask friends, neighbors, relatives, can you please give me a ride to the grocery store, to the doctor's office? And so the idea is, again, for transportation planners, policymakers, elected officials, to experience that, and that, yeah, it can be kind of embarrassing to have to ask somebody to tote you around. So, you know, it's a little bit different than carpooling with your spouse to dinner or something like that. You probably would have already taken the trip by car anyway. Does it really matter who's in the driver's seat? But to think of it just in terms of that experience of not having access to a car. And then again, it's on the honor system. And if you do kitty litter, then, you know, get the kitty litter.
I'm just excited. I'm thinking of how to kind of implement it in my department and see how I will lay it out and try to encourage and see who can take the challenge. So, mm-hmm. So I think this question is more for Supervisor Andrea. So when they pass the resolution, then maybe I'll try to get a copy and then I can kind of post it in our office for everybody to see and then try to see if they can encourage. I'll use the county resolution on that one.
Yeah, Director, I think that's a great idea. We'll also have a press release that goes out from the county tomorrow to draw attention, and it makes some suggestions about things that people could do. So I'll follow up with you via email right now with all of that language. And then I love your idea. It's really, it's an advocacy opportunity more than anything. It's drawing attention to an issue. It's challenging people to think about things differently. And I think any work that we do to advance any of those opportunities is great.
Yeah, I think I'll plan to do that next week because we work I'll wait for the resolution to go through at the county board so that I don't get myself ahead of the county board. And then, so probably I'll start looking at, try to see how, if I could encourage staff as from Monday and see if they can take, who can take the challenge. I don't know who.
Love that. Thank you. I will, I'll send you an email with some more details.
Okay. Thank you.
Liz?
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to chime in on the, I think this is a great conversation. I think it would be something valuable to share, particularly with people who are working on designing our transportation system. So, you know, to really put those non-drivers in, you know, your, you know, put yourself in their shoes for even, you know, even some of your trips, even if it's not the whole entire week, even say, you know, try to log a few trips. And then I just wanted to also mention that I think with round trip, you guys are doing something where if you do log so many trips, there's different prizes and giveaways. So I think that's, you know, we could all create, I mean, I think I did create an account during one of the challenges earlier this year, maybe earlier or late last year. So I think if we want to create accounts, we can even go in and actually officially log our trips if we want to do that. Maybe we don't need to win prizes, but win prizes from the MPO, but I think we should leave those for others. But I think that just the concept of doing that might be cool as well.
I could talk to Zia about, there is a way to set up teams within the round trip challenge. And these things are overlapping, but they sort of originate from a different, one is transportation demand management, getting people out of vehicles. Week Without Driving really started from a more of a disability perspective of those who don't have a choice versus TDM, which is presenting people with choices, and they perhaps they could buy a car or drive, but they're choosing not to. But they definitely are complementing each other, including in timing, because our fall challenge, which is called Smart Trips, is being launched this fall. So good comment.
Excellent. Liz, thanks for that, pointing that out too, about the resources available. Any other discussion of this item? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 10, the Regional Transit Authority discussion. And this is just, Alex, I'll turn this over to you. I know there's been some discussion in the media about this recently. Doug, do you want to make a comment before?
I just want to make sure that we actually voted on that motion. I know we had a motion.
Oh,
I apologize. That was right. A resolution. You're right. Thank you for catching me on that. So going back to item 9, the motion, and we had a motion in a second. I do recall that. All in favor, say aye.
Resolution. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. You earned your vice chair pay today, Doug.
That's right. Yep.
All right, next up is the RTA discussion, item 10.
Yeah, so this landed on our agenda last month. I believe Charles, you brought up this topic. And part of the reason for that is that it was getting some press, a little bit of press. And so I think it was a good topic to discuss overall, sort of what is the transit authority, what's the issue at hand, and what are some of the impacts of that. And so we have it on the agenda with a summary document that I asked, actually Ben put that together for us. It's called the Wisconsin Regional Transit Authority in brief. So I think it's a really good synopsis, sort of what they are, how they work, what's the situation here locally, and what are some of the potential impacts of having one or not having one. Also noting that having a RTA as a funding mechanism is acknowledged in our regional transportation plan that the MPO adopted. So that's sort of my introduction to it. Anyone want to launch into a discussion? Have you had an opportunity to review the material or have general questions?
I would simply note that the RTA, that the Dane County RTA, I served on it during its brief tenure. Dick Wagner, former Dane County Aaron Foley is a, I think he was a chairperson of Dane County. I know he's the supervisor too, but Dane County Chair Dick Wagner, who's no longer with us, was the chairperson at the time. I was vice chair, and we actually never made a motion to proceed with an RTA. We discussed the concept as this, it says we proposed a sales tax, but I don't believe there was ever a motion to do it. But as is noted in the staff report, it was, we never had a chance to proceed with our work. Any discussion or questions of our staff? Rochelle?
Yes, I appreciate the synopsis. I don't have a lot of context for RTAs because the state preemption occurred before I was really in the mix on anything, but essentially, was the turnaround so fast that nowhere in Wisconsin was a state able to establish an RTA before the preemption, or did anyone kind of get started and get it in before that state legislative change?
Dane County, we were very interested in proceeding, but we did not. We had quite a debate at the time about it. There was a concern about not agitating those who were critical of RTAs. And so we were very deferential, probably overly so, to the state, and the state took away that authority anyway. So I'm not aware of any community or metro area in the state where an RTA proceeded. In fact, I'm sure that's the case. There was an attempt later to consider an RTA for, I think it was the Fox Cities, specific legislation to allow just the Fox Cities, not Madison.
No.
But that didn't go anywhere, is my understanding. Ben, did you have more on that?
My understanding, and I did read some of the old documents from the time when the RTA, the Dane County RTA, was meeting. And so just for sort of clarification, like the body was established, the right. board, the all of that, but they had not gone out to the voters to request that taxation approval.
I see.
And so although the body existed, it never functionally achieved anything. But because the turnaround was so fast, I think that anywhere else in the state where that was the case, they were working on creating these bodies and getting the bylaws and getting the people on the board, and then the rug got pulled out from underneath. So, you know, the RTAs were formed, but they never went anywhere.
This was during the same era where high-speed rail money was turned back.
Yeah.
So it was the
and
same.
It relates to that. And I worked on that very much. But the RTA was such an important piece and a lot of work to put that together to make it happen, not just initial funding, but ongoing. And so it all just kind of came together. We're going to turn that away, and we're going to make sure it's harder to take another run at it, sort of unfortunate situation. But I think this summary does a good job sort of describing how the funding would work, what the limitations are. And it's not just purely a number. It's, you know, the process that we're kind of left with is one in which you have Metro just negotiating contracts with individual communities. It's not the most efficient process.
Liz?
And just to add.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Carry on.
Liz? You're muted.
I wanted to let you finish your thought, Alex, if you had.
I didn't mean to cut you off either, Alex. Sorry.
I'm finished.
Okay. Yeah, I was just going to add that I think that this is a really nice synopsis. I know that it's been discussed throughout the state, having come here from southeastern Wisconsin. It's been discussed in southeastern Wisconsin. I think generally the thought is that there isn't potential. So discussions have more so revolved around how do we make regional transit work without this entity? And I think that's, you know, been successful to a degree, but like this synopsis explains, it has its limitations. And I think another thing we're seeing too is just with communities pushing up against levy restrictions, that, I mean, that's, I think, what a lot of the media has focused on too, is that this would move transit that would be provided by this authority outside of those local municipal limits. So it would be a new sort of set of limits, which would free up municipalities to have more flexibility in what they can do within those limits. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean a major change for taxpayers. They're still going to be paying the same or potentially more, because they're going to be paying a little bit of, you know, a sales tax. But that's just kind of another point that I wanted to be sure to make. And obviously the contracts can be clunky, and regions where you see really strong transit systems almost always have an RTA. So I think it's something that is worthwhile discussing at different parts of our MPO, but also maybe even connecting with others in the state to see what people are talking about.
Thank you. Lemon?
Yes, thank you. As I listen through the discussions, what is coming to my mind is there a reason why it has been brought up again? Do we want to move on with it, or I'm still trying to find out why we are discussing it. What is the goal? Where are we heading to? So whoever brought it up, if they can give us more light, and then that would give us, my philosophy is when something is brought up, it's something that we have to try to see that we take it to the end. And if we have to take it to the end, then I need to know why we are bringing it up now, since we had struggled with it in the past. That's my understanding. We struggled with it in the past and it didn't take off. So what I would say is, if somebody can share more light why we are discussing it now, that would be very helpful.
Rochelle, if you don't mind, may I jump to Alder Mazzi? Charles, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Actually, I had a very good discussion with Alexandra, and I actually got a chance to read an article that was from July 31st of 2024. And basically, I just wrote a whole bunch of things that actually I thought was beneficial, like about the RTA and like reducing traffic conditions. RTA will improve transit options, reducing road congestions, and shorten community times, enhance regional connection, streamline transit across communities like Cross Plains, Wanakee, Middleton, and create more efficient transportation through Dane County, support job access, expanding transit options that would ease major employees like Epic System, reducing overcrowd, efficient bus services, ensure equitable transit. The RTA could fill gaps in suburban areas like Monona, ensuring everyone has access to reliable public transportation. Plan for future growth. With Dane County's rapid population increase, the RTA could help fund sustainable infrastructure for support, further growth, improving emergency response, reducing traffic congestion would allow emergency vehicles to respond faster. Also, fair resource distribution. Communities like Middleton shouldn't shoulder the cost of regional transit alone. The RTA should distribute costs fairly. Also, enable long-term planning with dedication funding. The RTA could allow stable long-term transit development, and also bridge regional disparities. So those are quite a few that I've came up from reading that that article, and I thought that this would be great for us to actually, I know that it didn't go through before, but did because of the redistricting that just happened and the maps and all that, I think that this time around, I think we could probably see this through.
Thank you for that background, Charles. To more specifically, you had asked some questions about this and had asked for this to be on the agenda and have had discussions with staff and have done some additional reading. And so that's the impetus, Clement, why this was before us tonight.
Okay.
Rochelle?
Yeah, so I just wanted to follow up a little bit on sort of where the statewide energy is on this topic. You know, Liz, you had mentioned that maybe there was some movement in the Fox Valley and there's conversations in Milwaukee going on. And I just wanted to hear, since you all really have your ear to the ground on so many issues, if there are any other communities or regions in particular that have really been talking about this again or more. I think there are a lot of local jurisdictions that are feeling extreme budget crunches now. And so I think they're, you know, the state should and needs to have new discussions around all kinds of funding issues at the local level, but this may be one for some specific fodder. So I was just wondering from staff, or of course others on the MPO, if there's any other energy in specific regions or areas that maybe we would like to be aware of or make connections to, if there are any subsequent opportunities for collective communication or perhaps future advocacy on this topic.
Thank you. Doug, you're next.
Yeah, thanks. My initial reaction when I saw this on the agenda was, you know, that it would just be a futile effort. But I guess reflecting now and seeing that, you know, it was in Governor Evers' budget, and as Charles mentioned, the possibility with the new maps of a very different looking legislature, this might be an opportune time to express support for the idea of this state law being changed to allow for RTAs to be created again. Because I think transportation is uniquely suited to being more of a regional entity than a lot of other issues. So thank you.
Thanks, Doug. Ben?
Supervisor Andre's question or about energy elsewhere in the state. The only other area that I know has recently been talking about it is East Central Regional Planning Commission. So again, the Fox Cities, they have been pursuing it as workforce transportation and economic development, and to the point of not calling it an RTA, calling it like a workforce transportation zone. I don't remember what their terminology was. But when we discussed it, we agreed that we should stay the heck out of it and let them run with it and see how far they can get. And if they can find some wiggle room to get a loophole into the law or get the law changed, then we can work on that afterwards. But in the meantime, we didn't really feel that the legislature loves Madison particularly much or Dane County. And so we would just let the Fox Valley do what they do and try and figure out how to make workforce transportation happen.
Thank you, Clement.
I appreciate the context on that too, Ben, thank you.
So I know Liz tried to explain why it didn't take off, but I still did not get a clear understanding of why the Department of Transportation did not want this to take off. I believe that if it is something that we need to make it work, we have to start from why it did not take off and try to fix those concerns, because that is the foundation. And once you have that solid foundation, I think it can then move up. Or take off the way we wanted it. The reason I'm saying this is, if I get a good sense of what is happening here, it's something that most of us here, or if not all, are in favor of the RTA. So our goal should be, if we wanted to move forward, we have to go back and start from the roots. What were the challenges and why didn't it take off? And then if you get solutions to those challenges, then I think we can move forward. If not, it's still going to be some huge challenges because they're going to go back to those old documents and review them and tell you, repeat, regurgitate all those things that they told you first in those early years that, no, it can't work. So if you have solutions to those challenges, then I think that would help to move it forward. Because if we want to move it forward, that's where we should start. Because right now, I think the discussion is good. And the brief explanation or some description by Alderman, I don't know if to pronounce your name, is Medez or Medzay. I'm sorry if I pronounce it wrong. He gave some, to me already when I listened to that, it looked very positive. Again, I'm just saying it from, just looking from it from a distance.
Yeah.
But we have to delve deeper. And if we have to go with these, I think that's the route I would recommend we do. We start from where it failed and why it failed, and then we go from there.
In a nutshell, and I think Ben was being very magnanimous in his summary, but as he noted, the state budget 2011 through 13 state budget dissolved all RTAs. In a nutshell, it's because there was a group of people who don't like the idea of local governments banding together to decide to tax themselves. That, I think, is just a very blunt summary of what happened. There was a sentiment that we should not be spending money on transit, on high-speed rail, that taxes are too high, and that we don't want to allow local control for those purposes. I don't know if anybody wants to put more nuance to it than that, but I think that's in a nutshell what we were dealing with in terms of a political environment that Dane County was facing along with some of our peer cities around the state. So does anyone have a different view? I think that's where we were.
Well, this is Michelle. I'll just state it more plainly because I get to do that, perhaps where staff would be kinder. But I mean, this was a political decision, and an RTA is in its essence a taxing authority. And the administration, you know, made a commitment not to tax anyone and to lower expenses and et cetera. So it was tied up in a lot of changes disallowing local options and part of a flood of other legislative efforts at that time related to taxes.
And that's, I think that's exactly right. Liz, you're next, and then Charles. Oh, Liz.
Yeah, I was just going to respond to the question about other parts of the state. I was going to add the Chippewa Valley. I think there have been some discussions. So in the Eau Claire area, I'm not sure how active the group is, but there was a group called the Chippewa Valley Transit Alliance, and they were kind of working together. And one of their goals was to try to get an RTA enabled or RTA legislation enabled. And then another just mention I wanted to put out there was there has been some activity in Waukesha County. Now that's kind of tied in with Milwaukee, but obviously a different kind of part of the political spectrum over there. They have had some success with some workforce transportation crossing county lines. And I think there may be some interest there. So I like Ben, I like your point of really being very careful about, you know, the terminology that's being used and how it's framed. But if a next step is maybe to do some more exploration, that those two would be great to talk to in addition to the Fox Valley area, I think.
Good. Very constructive suggestions, and I like that approach that the Fox Valley is taking. And even if with the maps redistricting, you know, that doesn't mean that there's going to be automatically a change in view at the state. I think couching it in economic workforce access, employee access terms is a good way to go about it. And hopefully our Fox City's colleagues, if you will, can make some headway there. Why don't we move on to item, if anybody else have anything they wanted to add to that? Not, I think we are down to capital area regional planning activities, staff report.
I can do that, and the report is that Jason's going to pass until next month.
Okay.
So rather than report now, just wait until he has more to report at our next meeting.
All right, thank you.
And so under item 12, I just had several announcements and staff reports to share. So the first thing is that we're still accepting comments for the amendment to the MPO public participation plan. As you may recall, the tip is 30 days, but when it comes to the public participation plan portion of it, the rule is that we need to leave that open for 45 days. So we're still in that. We have not received any comments to date related to that. Really good news is that the Dane County, in partnership with a bunch of different organizations, including ourselves, playing a big role in providing technical assistance, received a $13.2 million EV infrastructure grant award. So that resubmittal, if you may have recalled, we did the EV infrastructure plan. A lot of the data and information and mapping from that went into the original grant application. We were denied, but we were so close and encouraged to reapply. That happened and we were successful. So this is really recent news. We'll have more to explain about that at our upcoming meeting to sort of give a summary of what was in that grant application, what the next steps are. But it gives the county and this region an opportunity to build up our EV infrastructure in a pretty substantial way. So that's exciting. The little bit less exciting part of it is because it is discretionary federal funding that's coming into the region, we need to amend our TIP to reflect that. And because it's so much money, it's going to be considered a major amendment. So we're going to turn around right away tomorrow and open up that 30-day period for public notice. And you'll see this come back on a future agenda for that. Some notes on engagement, just to sort of give you an idea sort of what we did in the last quarter. Well, something's coming up next week. We're going to have a presence at the American Planning Association, Wisconsin chapter, which is held in Madison this year. And just a number of, overall increases in engagement through, our digital communication, our social media, a little bit there. And then we've been doing more and more tabling, where we're actually present at different communities and different organizations. So just within like second quarter, we did 12 different events, and some examples of those are Volusia Education Job Center. We tabled there, and this is specifically with our round trip program. So when we were talking the last topic, we were talking about workforce. It's interesting how now we can talk about housing if we talk about workforce. And I guess now we can talk about transit if we talk about workforce. So that's my little commentary on that. But it's very real. So that's a lot of the places we go to. We participated in the Sun Prairie's Juneteenth celebration, although the weather wasn't very cooperative, but we were there for the duration we could be. The transportation options tabling that we do with Madison Metro, and the Just Dane Reentry Service Fair, which we've done a few of those as well. So, showing our population options and transportation, that's a good opportunity for our round trip program. For our staffing update, I'm still grieving, but as you know, Colleen has taken a new job, a great job at WISDOT, but her job, to replace her position, although we can't replace her, we certainly need to replace that position. It is critical, and it's been posted actually for a week now. It was posted last week. The recruitment is on. So get the word out if you haven't already. Many of you here already are helping. Thank you, Liz, sharing the information. And that applications for that will happen towards the end of this month. So I'll keep you updated on the, how that goes. Something I noted and provided a link in your agenda that I encourage you to look at is, you know, we had a summer intern. The city of Madison has a program called Aspire, in which they have internships for young people over the summer. They're brief, but we've just had really great luck with people. Those who want to work for us are often really into GIS, and our intern named Haley, she put together what's called a story map. So if you're familiar with Esri products, with ArcGIS, it's just a way to tell a story with mapping. And she actually helped a local group in the city of Madison who approached, I think maybe city engineering, or they approached someone in the city to do it for them. And they're like, we don't have the capacity, but it was a great opportunity. And she just ran with it. So if you want to take a look at that, it's really nice. And it's sort of stopping points along what's called the Lake Winger Loop, but it sort of gives you an idea of the sorts of things that we have the capacity to do for communities. And then of course, the last thing I'll mention is—
I just wanted to add to that, Alex, quickly, that I have a coworker who took her two kids on and did this loop ride last week, and they loved it. So I just wanted to give you that feedback. They had heard about this, and they went on this, and with her two kids that are going to fifth grade and third grade, and they thought it was wonderful.
That's so great. We'll have to let her know. I mean, it really is a great demonstration, because there are places along that loop that people don't know are there. So it really combined cultural and environmental features with transportation on a map, and that's great. So great to hear. And then finally, just to mention the Fall Round Trip Challenge, which is called Smart Trips. We always do a challenge in spring. We had the spring roll. This one's called Smart Trips. We'll see how that goes. And like we talked about, it is very coinciding a little bit with our week without driving. So there's one or two of those that are options for people to consider. And that's all I had, sort of those sorts of little updates for you.
Great. And with that, we are at the end of our agenda. Somebody like to motion to adjourn?
Williams moves to adjourn.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Adjourned at 7:27. Under an hour, Mayor Esser.
Yeah, well done, Mark.
Good job. Right, take care.
Thanks.
Hey.
Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.